veganism is the hard line of vegetarianism and often gets a bad rap. Almost anti-food, really. Steamed vegetables with water. What it needs is the addition of bacon, vegan bacon potentially, which is where Shannon Martinez and Mo Wise come into the picture. Now, these are two gastronomic entrepreneurs leading the charge to change the way Melburnians think about vegan food. They have turned classic meaty dishes like beef bouillon, bolognese, stroganoff into vegan fare, and you can embrace this new movement with their new cookbook, Eat Vegan, Smith and Delicious. There's a little word play in there, but it doesn't work very well in radio. Shannon and Mo, join me now. Welcome you two.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
How long have you both been vegan?
That's a good question for Shannon. I've been vegan for 17 years now.
Okay.
And I'm not vegan at all.
Now, there you go. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an interesting thing, Shannon.
Yeah, exactly. It's a topic of conversation for sure. People don't expect, obviously, a vegan restaurant to be owned by someone who's not vegan.
Yes.
But coming from the food side of the business, classically trained in cooking, I just found that those sort of techniques really lent themselves well to vegan food, and it was something that people hadn't really focused on before.
Does this mean you're a carnivore or just a broader vegetarian?
No, I'm a carnivore.
Okay. So the restaurant is Smith & Daughters in Fitzroy in Melbourne, and the shop, it's part of the family, Smith & Deli, sort of around the corner, also in Fitzroy. Tremendously popular.
We're very fortunate.
There's a moment going on, I think, for that sort of food and cooking.
It's pretty amazing. Even 4 years ago when we opened the restaurant, almost five now, there was such a buzz around veganism. And now that it's here to stay, it's not being considered a trend anymore. We're seeing lines out the door all the time. Our bookings are always full. And we think it really does have a lot to do with both Shannon being a meat eater and raising the bar for the food, but also just providing something that doesn't exist.
Well, it's Shannon's meaty veganism that's the key.
Try not.
Absolutely.
Because it's really interesting food. It's not that South Asian kind of inspired Indian sort of feel.
Yeah, which is generally,
it's meat, but it's not.
Yes, exactly. And I think most vegetarian and vegan restaurants are generally run, the kitchens are run by vegans or vegetarians, and the thought process behind the sort of dishes that they recreate is very different to the sort of things that I, would be craving, or anyone who's not vegan would be craving. So whereas someone else might, when they're thinking about a dish, be thinking chickpeas, lentils, vegetables, I'm thinking beef, chicken, dairy, vegetables, right? And so then I have to then try and sort of translate that into a vegan dish. So I think that's where we sort of sit apart from the other vegan restaurants.
So how hard's that? I mean,
It used to be really hard, but now not so much. Well, because you don't learn how to make the sort of food that we're doing. This is all very much self-taught. Making meat from products like soy and gluten, protein and things like that. There's not really a book that you can follow besides ours, I guess, where you can learn how to do these things. So it's a lot of trial and error.
So there's a lot of, in terms of a book too, there's a lot of technique enters this. I mean, most cooking books, yes, they have technique, but this is taking that into a different sort of direction.
Books in the past for veganism were always really overcomplicated and lots of steps and due day processes. And if you're going to be making some of the meats like Shannon makes, it would take you all day and then you'd end up with something rubbery and tasteless. So it's one of those things where you have to get it down to a science, and then what we do at the restaurant and the deli is so specialized. But what we put into the book were more accessible recipes, so people at home can do it and not have to give up and have something like a rubbery ball of gluten for dinner.
Yum. Yeah, because as we were saying at the top, it's sort of veganism can get a bad reputation.
Oh, yeah.
But is the alternative to that to disguise it as meat eating? I mean, is that
there's a place
in
for
its
both.
Way a kind of a cop-out as well?
No. Well, it's just food, isn't it? There's no cop-out. It's just eating. And most vegans don't become vegan because they don't like meat. They become vegans for environmental or ethical reasons.
Yep.
There's no reason why, if it's possible to make something that is close to what they're used to eating, that they shouldn't be able to have it. We're not taking away from the meat eaters. They're born right to eat a sausage, and meat eaters do have a massive problem with this, where they get really defensive about a vegan calling something chicken. But if you can eat that chicken schnitzel without anything dying and you feel that it is the perfect substitute and that makes you happy, then what's the reason why you wouldn't?
That's a pretty all-round win, really,
isn't it? Exactly.
Yeah. it's an interesting gateway project for people who are habitually meat eaters.
Totally. And we see that a lot with our customers, both at the restaurant and the deli, people coming in saying, I want to reduce my consumption, or they have no clue. And then they see things that are familiar to them and they're like, oh, well, ragu or schnitzel or whatever it is, there's no difference to this. The flavor is just as good. Why wouldn't I just keep doing this? We're providing that.
This takes us, Shannon, logically to bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make vegan bacon?
There's heaps of different types of vegan bacon you can make. And, you know, as a meat eater, bacon is the one thing that is quite hard to replicate. We can get the flavour pretty close, but the thing that everyone loves about bacon is that fat content and things like that, and it brings something to a dish. We can get the smokiness of bacon. We can get a really similar texture, but it isn't going to quite get there, you know? So it's a hard one to replicate. We do replicate it all the time, and the flavour, we do like egg and bacon muffins, like a McDonald's-style kind of breakfast muffin.
They're and one of our most popular.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that with an egg?
Yeah, vegan egg.
Now, what's a vegan egg?
It's pretty complicated. I mean, how much time we got, you know?
I have to ask.
That's not. It's not in the book for a reason.
No, exactly. But, you know, okay. It is. There's some tofu in there.
There's always tofu in there.
There's not, actually. See, that's one of the things. There is not.
keep them thinking that.
That's the interesting thing. I mean, always tofu. But how much has the preparation of various sort of proteins and that kind of product really expanded in recent times?
Well, there's a lot. And when people have this idea that everything that vegans eat is tofu, if that was the case...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, hey, everyone, you know, meat eaters always go on about bacon. So, you know, so I guess...
That's our thing.
Yeah. But yeah, before, all the substitutes and things were generally made of a very similar product, which is why a lot of them were very similar in texture. And when someone was like, this is supposed to be beef, this is supposed to be chicken. Actually, they're all made of the same thing. So they sort of were the same stuff, but one was coloured with brown food colouring and one was white. So, you know, the way we do it is depending on the texture of what we're trying to replicate, we'll use completely different ingredients.
So that texture thing is really interesting, because that's, here we go, I'm going to use the expression mouthfeel here.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And that's the thing that's lacking. We say this all the time when people do vegan restaurants, they make really great dishes, but they're good enough for a vegan, which is one of our least favorite things. So why aren't they putting the things back in that they're taking out when they make a vegan dish? And that's what Shannon does. So it's all about the mouthfeel and the texture.
If people are thinking about, you know, I want my diet to be more plant-based, what's the sort of a first step in that?
Well, we all know, meat eater or not, that the way that we're eating is not sustainable. If we can't continue to eat the way we eat, you know, we've been very fortunate that we live in a country where we've pretty much been able to eat anything we want at all times. But from a purely environmental standpoint, coming from someone who does eat meat, we all know that we can't continue to have breakfast, lunch and dinner, meat, 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 meat. So we do have to alter the way we eat either way, whether you want to go vegan or not, but just reducing intake. So I think the sort of food that we do, because it is replicating things that meat eaters are used to, it's a really easy transition for people, so they don't feel like they're missing out on their regular food. They don't have to go from having a T-bone one night to like a lentil curry the next night. You know, there's not a huge adjustment. Not that there's anything wrong with a lentil curry, but, you know, it's there is a big difference. And so for the big blokey dude that's meat and three veg, that transition will be a lot easier for them. So they can still come to the deli and have like a 4 and 20 style pie. And that's them just eating something by choice and probably not noticing. And that's a sort of move I think is going to be really important in terms of changing people's minds a little bit.
As you said way back, you know, that most people come to plant diet as a sort of an intellectual position.
Yeah.
It's not through sort of distaste. And that is a thing which has a real sort of weight of social movement behind it.
Correct.
We're here to improve it. That's the main issue.
That thing of improving is interesting. So where does the adventure lie in vegan food? I mean, what's the sort of the cutting edge of...
Well, I think we are in a really privileged position because Shannon's actually looking at things in a totally different way. Coming from the meat perspective, the playing field is if this dish matches its meat contemporary, it's going to go on the menu. But no one else is really coming from that angle. So whereby she got really bored of like traditional methods of cooking, she's saying, okay, I want something that's actually challenging, making steak out of not steak and eggs out of not eggs. So where people are actually doing that and they're saying, what are more sustainable, exciting, delicious ways of producing things that create no gap from what they were eating before? That's exciting. That's the future.
And
she's challenging herself all the time.
Well, and you're expanding your vocabulary too. When the restaurant opened, it was a sort of a Mexican
Latin kind of
vibe.
Yeah.
Then it shifted to an Italian.
Yeah. I just got a bit bored.
So what's next?
I don't know, I'm really into the Italian vibe at the moment. So I reckon we're going to stick with that. I'm still waiting for tomatoes to come into season. Like, I haven't even got them yet. So,
yes,
like, summer's going to be good.
But that's an interesting thing because there is so much in those cuisines which is meatless anyway.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And any culture with a peasant-style tradition in their cooking is generally, most of that time, it would be vegan anyway. You know, they're using breadcrumbs instead of parmesan and all that sort of stuff.
Which is the interesting thing because, in a way, the sort of the mass production of meat, the corporatization of meat culture has sort of pushed people away from cuisines which are much more meatless anyway.
Totally.
For sure, yeah, of course. And, you know, some of the world's best dishes are just vegan by default, not because they were set out to make them vegan. It's just they couldn't afford the dairy or they couldn't afford the meat. There is a place for what we're doing in terms of the replication of other dishes, just to be that sort of stepping stone for people.
And the large majority of our customers aren't vegan, so we're appealing to them, and that's important.
Shannon, Mo, thank you so much. Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Hey, Shannon Martinez and Mo Wise, they're owners of Smith & Daughters Fitzroy in Melbourne and Smith & Deli, their retail offshoot, and authors of Smith & Delicious. We'll pop a link up for you on the Blueprint website. This is Blueprint here on RN.